This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay. This is a program called Community Corner, where we get to chat to interesting people from our community. And today it's my very good pleasure to have in the studio Joe Gregory, who is here to talk all about Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Joe, how are you going?
Oh, good. Thank you, Ken. Thank you for having me here today.
It's fabulous to have you in the studio. Now, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, I never heard about it until I heard of your name. Tell us what Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is. It's even hard to say, isn't it?
It is. It is hard to say. Okay, so... It's a rare connective tissue disorder.
Mm-hmm.
It's genetic. Connective tissue is found throughout the whole body.
Yeah.
And so basically it's a defect in the collagen, which is a protein that is found in connective tissue.
Now, before we go down that road, I mean, you have a personal connection to this syndrome. What is that connection?
My daughter.
Your daughter has got it.
Yes. She was diagnosed last year.
Okay. Now, tell us what the actual connective tissues are. I mean, you know, people think, scratching their head at home, saying, what are connective tissues?
They're basically the building blocks of your whole body.
Wow.
So they're found in your organs, your veins, your arteries, to do with the ligaments, the joints.
So from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet?
Yes.
And everything in between?
Yes.
Okay, tell us how you get it. How do people get this syndrome? Is it a genetic?
Yes, it's genetic.
Yeah.
So there are 13 subtypes.
Mm-hmm.
12 of them have a genetic known component.
Mm-hmm.
There is only one at this stage that they haven't found the genetic coding for, but they do believe it is out there, and that's the hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So
your child has it?
Yes, she does. Now, she had, she's a little bit complex. For us, 5 years ago, she started vomiting up blood.
Mm.
And that was really the start of her decline in her health. So when we finally got referred to a specialist up in Auckland, he wanted to do a genetic test.
Mm.
And that's something that you don't have to do, but we did because of her bleeding, and it did come back that she had positive genetics for short for Ehlers-Danlos is EDS.
Yes, yes.
So, and she also has an abnormal gene that's associated with small vessel bleeds. Now, because the connective tissue is found throughout the body, it makes your veins and arteries more fragile. You are more susceptible to bleeding and bruising, but with my daughter, she has that extra gene, so it makes it just a little bit more complicated.
So it's genetic. How come you haven't got it? Your husband hasn't got it?
They believe that I do have it.
Mm.
It comes in varying degrees. Not every EDS patient has the exact same symptoms or the exact same degree. It's not curable,
yeah.
So once you have it, you have it. There are quite a lot of comorbidities that come along with it.
Mm.
So I think this is one of the reasons why it's quite hard to diagnose, because you know you have heart issues, something called POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardic syndrome. So it's when your heart rate bounces up really, really high, normally upon standing. Then you have the gastro issues. It affects how the stomach empties, so a lot of EDS patients have what you call gastroparesis. But then you also have the joint instability. So there's a lot of dislocations and subluxations. Some can dislocate their joints up to 10, 15 times a day.
It's very serious, that's what you're saying.
It is. It is, yes, absolutely.
And I guess you mentioned about the diagnosis, and just listening to you, I imagine from a doctor's point of view, a local doctor's point of view, for instance, it will be very hard to diagnose, because you could say, well, you've got this symptom, but that could be put down to this, that, or the other. So what made you decide that you had to go and see a specialist, or did your doctor refer to that specialist?
It was really down to me doing my own research.
Mm.
basically when my daughter started vomiting up blood, nobody could find out the cause. And we ended up having to go privately for that. Unfortunately, she was dismissed from the hospital as, we don't really know what's going on. You probably just have, have a pain syndrome. They did find, when we went privately, no one had actually had gone down inside of her to have a look where the bleeding was coming from within a certain amount of time. And so the private specialist we went to, he managed to do a gastroscopy within a couple of hours, and he did find three lesions in her stomach. They were classed as Julefoy lesions, which again are really, really rare, and they are rare malformations of small arteries, and they kind of pop up, bleed, and then they go back down. So unless you can see them when they're actually been bleeding, then you won't see them. So that's what kind of started my daughter's journey. Then other issues began. The every time she tried to eat and drink, she would vomit, and that just increasingly became worse. So right now she can't eat, drink or receive any nutrients through a feeding tube without suffering from excruciating pain, nausea and vomiting. And so,
if we were talking quality of life, that doesn't sound like there's any there.
There is none. It's basically surviving at the moment.
When does it become apparent? So, I mean, you apparently are carrying the gene, but looking at you, you look hale and hearty. You look very healthy.
It can be an invisible disease. So you can look at someone and think they're perfectly fine, but there's a lot going on in the inside. So they do learn to hide it very, very well.
Is it more prevalent at an early age? Does it have an early onset?
I think it's more at puberty time. Everyone is different. So just going back to the question that you asked earlier about how did we come about getting her diagnosed? When she was younger, she used to injure herself quite often. She would fall over and her injury would be worse than what it should have been. So at a younger age, that can definitely happen. Other weird things can happen, like rashes and soft tissue injuries and things like that. But I do believe that it does seem to be around puberty time that it really starts to show itself.
So the three main symptoms that I came across for it were overly flexible joints, which you've already talked about.
Yep.
And some of those, I saw some photographs of it, and some of those...
Yes.
They are really flexible, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They're almost bending backwards.
Absolutely. So even without a genetic test, you have to go through... There's something called the Batten score.
Yeah.
And it's very precise. And so that is one. Obviously, you do have to be hypermobile.
Mm-hmm.
But with the 13 different types of subtypes of EDS, it kind of depends where you actually fall into.
And I guess dislocating your joints, and you mentioned that some people dislocate their joints up to 15 times a day, that's got to be painful putting it back in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And every time you dislocate or sublux something, it's going to weaken, loosen everything around it. And then there's the after effects as you get older as well. So, you know, you can end up in a wheelchair, not being able to walk. It's terrible.
Sounds awful. The other two main symptoms are stretchy skin, you talked about that, and fragile skin, that skin that damages easily and doesn't heal very well. Okay, so we've got the diagnosis, your daughter's got it. Now, what was the next course of action? So they decided, yes, she's got this disease and she's not going to be very well. What happened then?
Well, this was from the specialist up in Auckland. Mm-hmm. So we've been really dealing with this for about 5 years now, and I thought, wow, yay. You know, we've got a genetic diagnosis. Things are going to get a little bit better within the health system. But unfortunately, it didn't. So
when you say it didn't get better, I presume that they must have said, well, we are going to treat your daughter, and this is what we're going to do for her. Is that what happened?
That's what they said. I think the issue is the awareness about EDS, and they're not really trained. I mean, the medical professionals, I mean, they don't really have the time, to be honest. I mean, I don't think.
That's the last thing you wanted to hear. We haven't got the time to treat your daughter.
Well, that's what it definitely feels like. Yes. So there's too much going on. When you have a specialist, they normally specialise in one area.
Mm-hmm.
With EDS, it's a whole body issue.
Yes, massive.
And trying to, for them to have the understanding that, well, EDS is actually causing your heart, your joint issues, your gastro issues, Jamie's issues, the blood, maybe. We're not 100% sure. But it's like they don't really want to know. Sometimes it's like, oh, this is just the new fad.
Now, I know that Jamie's journey is at a stage where you're now having to go to Germany for treatment. We're going to have a talk about that in a moment. But what was the impact like on Jamie's life when she was diagnosed and said, okay, well, you've got the CDS and this is what's going to happen to you? Was it a rapid decline in her health?
No, she was already rapidly declining. We were just basically trying to search for a way to help make her feel better. In a way, it wasn't. We went through the different stages of, you know what, it doesn't matter if we don't get a diagnosis. We just want someone to help make her feel better.
Yeah.
And that never, never really happened. She ended up with needing a feeding tube because, again, every time she tried to eat or drink, she would vomit. There was definitely a lack of understanding within the hospital system mm-hmm. regarding that. She was told that it was just really her body being used to vomiting, so she had to try to even swallow her own vomit to try and really? Get her body
you
to
still
stop vomiting.
Yeah.
So my daughter's a specialist up in Auckland, Dr. Fraser Burlang, so he is the only EDS specialist in New Zealand. He's internationally known. He goes to all the international conferences with EDS. So he suspected from day one that Jamie had something called abdominal vascular compressions. Now, I'm still just learning really about what these all are.
Do you mind fields for you?
Absolutely. However, trying to have someone test her for these was another issue. Now, she just not long ago spent 12 weeks in hospital due to she couldn't tolerate any of the feed that went into her feeding tube, so she was even vomiting up the feed. The feeding tube went into her small bowel, so it kind of bypassed the stomach, but unfortunately it didn't stay in there either, so she was just vomiting all that up. And then we had quite significant amount of bleeding. So your hemoglobin's supposed to be around about 115. She was losing so much blood that her hemoglobin sat in the 70s for 4 weeks. And it was really frightening seeing her like that and not really... I felt as though she really wasn't getting the help that she needed. They basically put everything down to it was hypersensitivity. However, with one of the big bleeds she had to have a CT angiogram done. And one of the consultants, who's actually been very, very supportive and really good, decided to have them look for vascular compressions. I didn't actually know that at the time. However, she had the CT scan and I was told that everything was fine, everything looked good. I needed to see the results for myself. Yes. So I requested the results and sure enough, it had written down that she had a vascular compression. And it was like, oh, my gosh, I was told that this was normal. Social media is really good. So there is a EDS Facebook page for New Zealanders, which we belong to. Someone in New Zealand had posted about her daughter having vascular compressions and how they weren't getting the help they needed in New Zealand. I made contact with the mum and apart from the bleeding, it was identical.
Parallel stories.
Absolutely. And then from her, found out that this was actually quite prevalent in New Zealand. There was actually a lot of girls going through this. And they were actually off to Germany.
Does it mainly affect girls? Or is it...
Well, EDS can affect both sexes. I'm not really too sure whether it's one sex more than the other. But vascular compressions, it seems to affect girls more than boys. And the vascular compressions are being caused by EDS. Obviously, yes, you can have vascular compressions without having EDS, but it just seems that there is a huge connection between Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and vascular compressions.
I guess it was a hallelujah moment for you to actually be able to talk to someone who was on the same journey as you.
Absolutely. It was like, oh my gosh, we are finally understanding what's going on here.
So, Joe, you've decided that you need to go to Germany because you're not getting the support, or we haven't got the facilities here to treat your daughter. So what are your expectations of Germany, of the surgeons in Germany? You've already spoken to them, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I have. Yeah. Yes. Basically, they're going to decompress her compressions. So the vascular surgeon looking at my daughter's CT scan has already diagnosed her with four compressions. When we go over, she will meet with Professor Skolbeck, who performs the examination.
Mm-hmm.
Functional ultrasound Doppler. It's pretty high technology.
Yep.
So he will look at pretty much the whole body.
Sorry, it sounds pretty simple. They're going to decompress her compressions. I bet it's not that simple.
No, not at all. No. Not at all. So he will send his findings to Professor Sandman, who is the vascular surgeon. The surgery itself is pretty horrific. There is a 10% chance that she will die from the surgery or complications afterwards. In reality, is if we stay here and receive no help, she will die.
Yes.
And so going over there, she's going to be able to eat and drink again.
That's fabulous, isn't it?
So, and it's going to just relieve a lot of the other symptoms.
And I hate talking money.
Yes.
But I can't imagine this is going to be cheap.
No, it's not.
What sort of money are we talking?
So... approximately, it's between probably 150 and 180,000.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. At this stage, because of the bleeding, and here in New Zealand, they haven't been able to stop my daughter's bleeding. They're also going to investigate that. And she's going to be going to the university hospital in Dusseldorf that the vascular surgeon has organised, and seeing the gastroenterologist there, and he's going to be performing gastroscopy. I have not been told how much any of this is going to cost. But it's my daughter's life.
You can't put a price on it.
And you can't put a price on that.
No, you cannot.
And with the severity, from what I've heard, is that these young ladies and girls, their life expectancy is maybe only about 25. Wow. So, we find that Germany is our only hope.
Absolutely right. So the prognosis, you mentioned that there's a 10% chance that your daughter might not survive, Jamie might not survive, but there is a 90% chance that it might go very well and you'll be back here. When would you be back here? I mean, how long will she have to stay in Germany for aftercare?
Well, we've actually booked for 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. Purely because of looking into the bleeding as well. After the surgery, they spend 2 weeks in the hospital there, sometimes a little bit more, and then you're discharged, but you have to stay around the hospital for at least another couple of weeks. So Jamie isn't the first person to be going over there.
No.
As far as I'm aware from New Zealand, the first person went over about a year ago. Her quality of life has improved by 100%.
Wow.
Obviously, it doesn't cure the EDS, no. So you still have those symptoms. So I think that Jamie might be number 9 or 10 at the moment. There is another Hawke's Bay young lady over there at the moment, and she has just had her surgery. There is also another young girl from Auckland is having surgery today. So I have been told that after surgery that you can't be prepared for how horrific and what the recovery is like. So it's quite nerve-wracking regarding that. But
it's going to be life-changing, though, for all of you, for your whole family.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I wonder what's the thing that Jamie is most looking forward to eating when she gets that and gets that. I'm sort of back to normal. So I really can't wait for a Big Mac.
I think she's just excited about not having the pain and vomiting.
I bet.
When she eats, because I mean, at the moment she still has to try to eat.
Yeah.
And you know, she's I look at her and she's, I feel as though she's dying in front of my eyes. Mm. And we can't get to Germany quick enough.
It's a scenario that no parent would want to be part of. But look, you know, fingers crossed, it's going to be an experience that everyone's going to come out of at the other end, and you'll be back here. Now, like we mentioned, it's not going to be cheap. Now, if someone wanted to help you, you know, give you some money towards what you're going through, how do they do that?
Well, I have organised a Give a Little page, and so everyone is very, very welcome to.
So we go on to Give a Little, and what's it under?
Okay, so you go to the Give a Little page, and if you type in my daughter's name, her name is Jamie, which is spelt J-A-I-M-E-E, Gregory, G-R-E-G-O-R-Y, and it will come up with her page.
Okay, Joe, we're out of time. So if anyone else was having issues with this syndrome, is there someone locally they can talk to about it? Is there an organisation that...
Not locally. We have a fantastic GP who has a special interest in EDS. We were very lucky that we were referred to him. Yeah. And Dr. David Doig at Tomato Peak Practice. He has a great understanding.
That's great. Joe, look, it's been my pleasure to talk with you on this Community Corner. I wish you well, and I hope that, you know, Jamie and your whole family comes back, and it's going to be like a new life for you, and we'd love to talk to you when you get back.
Oh, that would be awesome, and thank you so much.